our Surgeon General, Dr. Vivek Murthy, released a report this week that we are in an epidemic of loneliness. He shares in this recent interview with Krista Tippett on the podcast On Being that people are feeling worried. They're feeling anxious. They're pessimistic about the future. And on the surface, you know, when you try to understand that, people will point to near-term trends, things like inflation, COVID, structural challenges. But Dr. Murthy actually has come to believe that it's something deeper. Because even when inflation was low and unemployment remained low and the economy seemed to be doing okay, people still didn't feel great. Even before COVID, before we hit this giant pandemic, people still weren't feeling great. So there's something deeper happening here. There have been many, many surveys that now are telling us that over half of Americans feel lonely. And the numbers are greatest among our young people. And when people struggle with loneliness, not only is it bad for their mental health, increasing their risk for depression and anxiety, but it also affects our bodies, increases the risk for heart disease and premature death, and so many other physical illnesses. This report even shared that this isolation and loneliness can be as bad for us as smoking 15 cigarettes a day. Our isolation is killing us. Today's gospel is a part of what is known as the farewell discourse. It's Jesus' final speech, his final teaching to the disciples before he was arrested and killed. Think of it as Jesus' final pep talk. Jesus knows his time with the disciples is limited and it's coming to an end. And so he tries to paint this comforting picture. But the disciples keep interrupting him. Jesus says, "You will know the place to where I am going." And then Thomas pipes up, Jesus, actually, we don't know where you're going. And why are you going? And how are we going to know the way?" And Jesus says, "If you know me, you know my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him." And then Philip pipes up and says, "Can you just show us the Father? And then we'll be good." The disciples here are worried. They're anxious. And perhaps with good reason, because Jesus keeps saying he's going to leave. They're scared. The Greek here is really interesting because we lose a little bit in English translation. The "you" that Jesus uses is plural. And so as one of Virginia's newest residents, this is going to take some getting used to for me, but the plural "you" in Virginia is y'all, right? But in this first line, the word for heart is singular. So Jesus says, "Do not let y'all's heart be troubled." It's weird, right? Sounds a little wrong. But it's as if these disciples are connected in a way that cannot be torn apart. Many, many people, but one heart. Just as Jesus is connected to God, the Creator, and he's also connected to these disciples, we too are connected to this community that is deep and wide and ancient. Lots of people, one heart. Just as 1 Peter describes that we are living stones, we may feel rocky and dead inside, but God is building us into this edifice of spirit. That these living stones are being fused together to become this house where God promises to show up, not someday, but right now, and here. And in this place, mercy is received, and our identity as God's children is proclaimed. It may look a little weird, but it will save our life. Barbara Lumblad, who's a famous preacher, puts it this way. When we let ourselves be built into a spiritual house by the presence of the living Christ, the results may not be very impressive. Some of these living stones are very well educated, and others have not finished high school. There's a woman who sits in the balcony because she does not think her clothes are good enough for the nave. Two people saying peace be with you to each other have not spoken since that contentious church council meeting. A baby keeps crying during the quietest parts of your sermon, and you can hear several people saying, Pastor, this is why we need a policy, no children under 5 in worship. 7 teenagers are in the side section, slightly hidden behind a pillar, and you know they are texting their friends who are sitting at the end of the row. At least they are here, you say to yourself. All of these somewhat quirky living stones are assured that they are now God's people, for they have become a holy priesthood. The community that God connects us to is quirky and sometimes maddening, full of too many opinions. It's like a high school, middle school science project. It's a group one, and you knew if you do it by yourself that it would be better. But that isn't actually what we need. We don't need independent and better. We need merciful, loving connection. Dr. Murthy again. Perhaps it seems a little counterintuitive in this current age where we seem to, in modern society, value independence, and we define that as not needing other people, not relying on anyone else, being able to do everything on our own. But that person, who thousands of years ago, when we were hunters and gatherers, tried to do everything on their own and go at it alone, we know what happened to that person. That's the one that got eaten by a predator. Or they died from insufficient food supply. We have learned over time, it's when we have built relationships with one another that we did better. We've lived longer. We were safer. And we were more fulfilled. And the thing is, even though our circumstances are so different now, fundamentally our nervous systems have not changed. Despite our best efforts, perhaps even we do not want to admit it, but we still need each other. God has created us this way. God is the one that will fuse us together. I hope, dear ones, that you feel connected when you walk in the doors here at Faith Lutheran Church. But perhaps later on this week, despair may creep back in. Anxieties, your worries, your pessimistic thoughts about the future. So I want to leave you with this meditation from our Surgeon General. Something that you can do easily at 3 a.m. when you can't sleep. Or when you wake up in the morning, not sure if you've got the energy to do it all. I invite you to take your hand and place it over your heart and close your eyes. Think about all the people who have loved you over the years. The people who have been there for you during difficult times. Who have supported you without judging you. And who stood by your side even when it was hard. Think about the people who have celebrated your moments of greatest joy with you. The people who saw your successes as theirs. The people who derived such pleasure and fulfillment from seeing you happy. Feel their love flowing through you, lifting you up, brightening your mood, and filling your heart. And know that that love is always there, even if they are not physically with you, because you carry that love in your heart. And know that you are and always will be worthy of that love. It came to you because you deserved it. Now open your eyes. That's the power of love, the power of social connection. It's our birthright. It's who we were designed to be and what we were designed to experience. Dear church, know and trust. that you are one small part of God's giant, loving, beating heart. That you are living stones being grafted into God's big, beautiful house. May we carry this message with us out the doors and into the streets, into a world anxious for connection. For we are not alone. We indeed are God's people. Amen.